Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Well, as you know, we have moved from the prologue of 1 John, contained in verses 1 through 4, to the primary message of the book. And John begins by giving us the very essence of Christianity when he tells us in 1 John 1:5, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you." Now, you recall in the prologue that John greatly emphasized the message which he had heard, which he had seen, which he had examined, he and the other apostles, and the emphasis upon declaring it to others is repeated throughout the prologue. So obviously in verse 5, even though this is not what we normally call the prologue, this is still very much related to what has gone before. John's talking about the message which he received, he and the other apostles received from Jesus Christ, tracing it all the way back to the beginning of the Christian faith, back to the coming of Jesus Christ and to the message which he declared, the things which he revealed to the apostles, which they in turn were instructed to communicate them to others, and thus in time it has come down to us, both through their verbal communication and even more importantly for us in their written communication. And John is writing this epistle for that very purpose. But now, having talked about this which he has been exposed to, this which he has had revealed to him, and this which he is to communicate to others, it's like he is going to give it to us in a nutshell right here. This is the message which we have heard from him, the essential message which John and the apostles received. This is of great importance. This is of timeless significance. This is of first priority. This is the real essence of the Christian message. Well, if I had said that much up to this point without telling you what it is, and of course if you were with us yesterday, you already know, or if you have studied the first epistle of John carefully, you already know. But just with what I've said up until this point, I can almost hear many of you offering suggestions as to what is this? What is the essential message? What is the one thing that we must declare to other people above all other things? This, then, is the message which we have heard from him. And what John says next is very surprising to modern American ears, even to modern American Christian ears. And that's why it's all the more important that we study it carefully. So to that end, we gather together around the Word of God on this Tuesday, January 16, and we are very grateful for those whom God has prompted to help us financially to maintain this Bible teaching ministry on this station. Well, what is it? What is this essential message which we have heard from him and declare to you? Here it is, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now, some of you are really scratching your head at this point. Well, I know that's true. I wouldn't doubt that, wouldn't deny that, but I wouldn't think that is the most important message. I wouldn't think that's the essence of everything that John learned from Jesus Christ. I wouldn't consider that the essence of the message that needs to be communicated to others. I might have thought that the essence of the message would be that God loves sinners, that Christ died on the cross for sinners, that those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. This, then, is the message which we have heard from him and declared to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all? That's right, said John. That's what I said. You got it. And as we saw in the broadcast yesterday, John actually gives us in his total writings of the five books that we have from the pen of the Apostle John, gives us three statements about the nature of God. He tells us in his gospel that God is spirit. He tells us later in this book that God is love. But here at the opening, he tells us God is light. And he says that's the essential message. He doesn't say that about the statement that God is love. That's an important message. That's very important. But that's not the essential one. That's not the most important one. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And so what is that telling us about God? First of all, it speaks something about his holiness, his purity. We saw some verses that speak of that on the broadcast yesterday, so I won't return to that again. But I simply remind you that in Isaiah's vision, where he was allowed to see into the throne room of God and to see the cherubim hovering around the throne, and he heard what they were saying, and they said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." They did not say, "Love, love, love is the Lord God Almighty." God is holy. He is purity. What else does it mean to say that God is light? Well, light is associated many times in the Bible with truth. We're all familiar, I'm sure, with Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. There it is, light is the word of God, truth. It is truth. Or Psalm 119, 130, the entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Light is truth. Light is the word of God. Or this in 2 Peter 1:19. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. The prophetic word that he's talking about here is not what we generally mean when we use the word prophecy. He's just talking about any of the words spoken by prophets, meaning messengers chosen by God through which to communicate his word to men. The prophets communicated divine revelation, so anything they communicated is prophecy. And Peter tells us that this prophecy is light. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place. So light is number one, purity or holiness. Light is number two, truth. And what else? Light is life. Light is life. Let me find, if I can turn my pages here, Psalm 27, verse 1. Wonderful text. And here we read, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Life and light are equated together in that statement. And you have something similar in the Gospel of John, chapter 8 and verse 12. And here's what we read. "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." The light of life. So there you have it. There probably are other things as well, but those three things for certain are communicated by the concept of light. Purity, truth, and life. And here John tells us, this is the essential message, which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. What John is telling us is something like this. If we're going to know God, if we're going to know him in salvation, if we're going to know him in proper reverence and worship, we've got to know who he is. We've got to know what he's like. We must not worship an undefined God, but we must worship a God who has revealed himself to us and worship him as he has revealed himself to us. We must not worship a God of our own manufacture, as I'm afraid some people do, and not realize that they are actually worshiping an idol, because to them an idol is a physical object, a statue carved out of stone or wood or something, like we know that people in other parts of the world consider their gods and bow down to worship, and we would never do that. But of course, you realize that that carved idol simply was a way of depicting the god that it represented, the false god, of course, that it represented, and communicated some of the characteristics of that god. The way that god looked, the way that god was portrayed, communicated characteristics about him. Well, when we worship God, we must have a correct mental understanding of who he is. We must be worshiping God as he has revealed himself to us, not worshiping God as we have imagined him to be, as we have conceived him to be, as we have defined him in a way that we like him. We like God in this fashion, in this manner, in this way. We must not be worshiping a God that has been miscommunicated to us by others. We've got to be checking out what it is that people tell us about God in the book that he has given, as he has revealed himself to us, and make sure that we are worshiping the God of the Bible. How many times over the years as I've tried to talk to someone about God and their relationship to God and how important it is that they have a right relationship with God. And I talk about sin and talk about judgment, talk about eternal hell for those who do not trust in Jesus Christ. And I've had, I don't know how many times, people say things to me like this. Well, I could never worship a God who would send anybody to hell. I could never worship a God who allows tragic things to happen to people. I couldn't worship a God like that. That's not the God that I worship. That's not the God that I am believing in. I believe that God is love, and I don't accept these things that you're telling me about him. So what are you doing? You're worshiping a false god. You're worshiping a mental idol, a god of your own manufacturing. But if we're going to worship God, we need to worship him for who he is. We need to worship him for who he has revealed himself to be. The only thing we know for God, about God for certain, is what God has revealed to us about him. He has revealed himself, and his primary revelation is the Bible. There are some things about God that are revealed in nature and so forth, but the primary revelation is the Bible. And he reveals himself, and here is one of the most important revelations. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Let us come to the light. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.